And it's time for another installment in one of our favorite longtime occasional series, Mispronounced Words. Some from our staff include Dietermind for determined. Our engineer, Paul Vikas, once called his wife a prune. He meant prude. A listener thought she was super bly after the word superbly appeared on a grade school report. And recently we heard obstacles for obstacles. The point is not to poke fun. It's to marinate in our love of words and our own flawed humanity. My mispronounced word, which launched the series, was mizzled for misled. And today I have company because one of our next two guests apparently also mispronounced it, although one of you said misled.
Well, it was I, and I have to say I'm so relieved to find a fellow misled person in this world.
Well, Ross Petras, when we first started this segment, we found so many, but I'd already found one, a friend who I said mizzled, he said misled. Apparently a lot of people do. That is Ross Petras, one of the co-authors of the new book, You're Saying It Wrong, 150 the Most Commonly Mispronounced Words. Ross joins us from Toronto by Skype, and joining us from KUOW in Seattle is his co-author and his sister, Catherine Petras. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, but did you have any words, if Ross had them, did you have any? What launched this book?
Actually, it started with my being snide to my husband. We were sitting in front of our respective computers, and he said something about detritus, and I said, it's detritus. He said, I don't think so. And I said, yeah, it is. So he believed me. But then I got a little worried, and I looked it up, and sure enough, he was right, and I was wrong. Both my brother and I, both Ross and I, have used that word a lot, oddly enough. We were always blithely sort of prattling about detritus.
And how it misled you.
It misled both of us, yes.
Well, there are so many words. I mean, we've been doing this segment. We've just heard wonderful ones, and then now our ears are open to them. We hear people say facilities instead of faculties. We once heard cross-eyed bear instead of across to bear. Let's go through some that you have on your list. It's the season. So, Ross, you take this. Electoral.
Well, electoral, that's a really interesting word because I actually, here I go again confessing mispronunciations, but I would always say it as both electoral and electoral. And obviously, there's technically one correct, but nowadays the dictionaries are accepting both.
Well, that reminds me of another word that, frankly, it took us a while to recover from this. Prerogative. Now, most of us know it's spelled P-R-E, and we just kind of smush it into P-E-R, prerogative. But you say it's actually prerogative, and sure enough, we went to Merriam-Webster. Let's listen.
Prerogative.
So, Catherine, what do you do about that? Because, okay, perhaps that's the way you pronounce it, prerogative, but that's not like misled. I mean, most people know it's misled. Prerogative seems to have become prerogative.
It's true. That's a very common thing that's happened in our language, especially with that particular thing when when you transpose the letters from pre to per. It's called a metathesis. It's so common that in this book, while we're saying technically it's prerogative, you'd say my prerogative. Since everybody really says prerogative, you're not going to get caught by the grammar police on that one by any means.
Yeah.
The one that really got me was victual, victual for victual.
That was the most fascinating word of all.
We both were blown away by that one.
At the end of the book, you'll see victual, V-I-C-T-U-A-L.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pronounced,
victual.
Correctly, it's pronounced victual like Granny
the
on the old TV show Beverly Hillbillies.
What?
And I actually got
that
into an argument.
That flipped us out. That totally flipped us out.
I actually got into an argument with someone in Toronto who was doing a show on how they victualed sailors during the wars against the Napoleonic era. And he said, no, it's pronounced victual. And I said, no, it's pronounced correctly victual. And we went back to the Oxford English Dictionary, and sure enough, it's pronounced victual. It comes from an old French word via the Latin, and it was pronounced victual. Then in the 1600s, a bunch of scholars decided, let's make it look more like the Latin, so they added a C to it. But it's still correctly pronounced victual.
Another one, we say restaurateur, but it's not.
That one fascinated us because years ago we were talking to one of our editors on another book, and he said something to the effect of, I'm so glad you're the type of people who would know it's restaurateur, not restaurateur. And we both
ran
looked at one
back
another and
to
thought,
the dictionary.
Uh-oh. We had no idea.
Back to the dictionary. We thought, oh my gosh, we're wrong. I always thought it was restaurateur.
Well, that sounds more logical, saying restaurateur, one who restaurants, but it's not. We put in the book that there's a mnemonic, which is put the rat back in restaurateur, but I don't think it really works.
In other words, put the R-A-T and not the R-A-N-T, which it's just become. Take this one, the berry, A-C-A-I.
Oh, I love that word. I always thought it was acai, and then I looked it up and I found it as acai, and it comes from a Portuguese transliteration of an indigenous American term, and it was the Tupi Guarani, and they pronounced it iwasai, which means something that cries or expels water. In effect, when you squeeze the berry, water comes out. And then the Portuguese put it as, in their writing system, as acai. Hmm.
There is no such thing as heart rendering.
That's one of those. We have a few that, like, on tenter hooks, and people always say on tender hooks. It's called an eggcorn. It's like when it sounds so much like something, and you're using words that are real, but they're wrong. You know what I mean?
We actually had one as dull as ditch water or dull as dish water.
Ditch water? Somebody says ditch water?
Well, that's correct. Well, think about it. In the old days, you would probably see more ditches than dishwater. So it became, but logically, as time passed, we saw fewer and fewer ditches and more dishes, and it became dishwater.
Okay.
I say dishwater, but whatever.
I avoid it.
We have a list, by the way. We keep a list at my desk.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Somebody said the crust of the matter, the crux. And you have... nip it in the bud.
Although I got to say, the mispronunciation of that one is a lot of people say nip it in the butt.
That's right.
Which sounds a lot more colorful and more fun, doesn't it? There's something about that really sort of sings. But no, it's a trouble with sound-alikes effect, we call it. Bud is the right thing. It came initially from a spring frost killing flower buds. In doing the book, we kept checking things on Google on their Ngram thing. And nip it in the butt has become much more popular. So it's one of those things that I think as time goes on, people are going to correct you if you say nip it in the bud.
Well, you know, this is such a great service because there's words, I know there's words that I don't say because I'm not quite sure. So, for instance, I would have said quay for the, you know, something next to a river instead
of
key.
Thank you. Me too.
But I know there's a river key. It's Q-U-A-Y, but it's pronounced K-E-E. But what about P-H-O?
That's an interesting one. I've always thought it was pho until I started doing this book, and it's correctly pronounced pho. And there's a lot of thought it's correctly pronounced pho because it actually came not from Vietnamese, but from the French. The French had a dish, pot-au-feu. When they conquered Vietnam, the Vietnamese took it up and then in turn transformed it into their own dish, and therefore it's called pho in Vietnamese. Hmm. The Chinese think it comes from the Chinese pho or phen, but we think it probably comes from the Vietnamese. But it's interesting how those things, I would have said pho.
Well, that will then put the kibosh on the mispronunciation of pho. And it is kibosh and not kibosh. I always thought it was kibosh.
That one I like because it came from Charles Dickens, actually. Yeah. And it was spelled differently, so you really saw it was kibosh. In 1836, in his sketches by Boz, he talked about putting the kibosh, K-Y-E-B-O-S-H, as opposed to K-I-B-O-S-H.
Huh. I thought it was Yiddish.
Yeah, wouldn't you think? That's what I thought. They're not sure where it came from, actually. Some people think it came from the Irish, I cannot pronounce the word, but because it's spelled Gaelic, which is beyond me, for a cap of death. And another one was it came from Scots booties that they put on cows called Kai booties.
Huh. Well, listen, as we know, whenever we do this kind of segment, our listeners are chomping at the bit. It's chomping at the bit.
Oh, it's funny because that one nowadays, chomp at the bit is now almost more common than champ at the bit. Technically, it really should be champing, which means chewing or grinding noisily at a bit.
Well, the horse would have been champing at the bit years ago in the 1800s. You guys, it's just great. You're Saying It Wrong, a pronunciation guide to the 150 most commonly mispronounced words and their tangled histories of misuse by the sibling team Ross and Catherine Petras. We'll link you up to some more words at hereandnow.org, where, listeners, we count on you to send in yours. Catherine, Ross, thank you so much.
Well,
great,
thank you.
Thanks a lot.